Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Ridge Community Church podcast. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors on staff at the Ridge, and our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. So as a piece of that, our goal each week is to bring you something that's hopeful and helpful. So subscribe to this podcast to make sure you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge podcast. If you find today's episode hopeful and helpful, then please follow or subscribe and then rate and review so that more people can find the conversation. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to give us a follow and turn on notifications so that you don't miss any of the helpful things that we're talking about throughout the upcoming weeks and days. Well, we are just about a month away from the most significant holiday for those who follow Jesus, the day we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, Easter. As we head into Easter this year, we wanted to do what we could to get ourselves ready to celebrate Jesus on Easter, get our hearts ready, get our minds ready, and really to make the most out of it this year. And so in this episode, I'm going to do some rapid-fire answers to a lot of questions that people have about Easter and what it can mean for you and your faith journey. So we'll talk about stuff, some fun stuff like Easter eggs, not the stuff that you find in a video game or a movie, but actual Easter eggs. We'll talk about Holy Week, why Easter's date changes, and some more stuff. And my hope is that this will pique your curiosity, help you understand a little bit more about Easter, and have some things to think about as we go into several of the different days of Easter. So to get things started, I just wanted to really quickly mention, nowhere in the Bible does it mention that we have to celebrate Easter. It's kind of similarly with Christmas. We don't have to celebrate these holidays. In fact, Paul writes in Colossians and some parts of Romans as well that following different festivals, those things are optional, and that if you view something as a holy day, then yes, treat it as holy and celebrate it with all your heart. And if you treat every day as holy, that's okay too. But really the focus is seeing these things as opportunities to connect with God, as opportunities to grow your faith. And so starting things off, all the stuff that we talk about, all the different days that are holy, that we talk about Holy Week, we talk about Easter and of itself, I just wanted to point that out, that this is not a have to. Like, this isn't I have to go to church on Easter, an obligation thing. But really, it is an opportunity to celebrate and to take some time and to really focus on what Jesus did for us. Because it is the linchpin, the most important holiday. It's the most important part of following Jesus, is the acknowledgement that He rose from the dead, that He conquered death, and because He did that, because He gave His life for us, we get to have a restored relationship with Him. Everything, really, of our faith hinges upon Jesus' resurrection. I just wanted to start off there before we kind of dive into the other stuff and the rapid-fire questions. Okay, so let's start off on a fun one. Why is there an Easter bunny and Easter eggs? What in the world does that have to do with Jesus and Easter? Well, actually, believe it or not, Easter eggs have something to do with some different faith principles. So one of the practices relating to Easter is something called Lent, which is where people will take the 40 days before Easter and they'll give up something. In early Christian traditions and still today, a lot of it would have to do with food, their period of fasting and penance. And one of the things that people would fast from is eggs. And so a lot of times what would happen is right at the beginning and at the end of the fast, people would break the fast and kids would ask for eggs as a treat, as a special thing to celebrate essentially the breaking of the fast. The other part of the eggs, the Easter eggs, was that they had a relation with an early symbol in Christian faith was the phoenix because of the rebirth of Jesus. And so a lot of times the symbology kind of connected those things. And part of that was a phoenix breaking out of an egg. And so Easter eggs in themselves actually had some of their roots in the Christian tradition of fasting and celebrating breaking that, and the kind of symbol of what an egg often represented, which was this renewal and this rebirth, which is associated with following Jesus and the gift that Jesus gave us when He died and rose from the dead, was this resurrection, was this rebirth, and the same rebirth that all of us have. And so when you think about Easter eggs this year, that's one thing that can you can bring up to your kids as you're thinking through them is the renewal. What's the renewal and rebirth in your own life? What are the cool things that you want to experience as this renewal, as this God-given kind of new life that you have with Jesus? So it doesn't have to be just this colorful egg thing. It's an opportunity to reflect each time you see an Easter egg on the new life that Jesus has given you. Now, what in the world does the Easter bunny have to do with all that? Well, actually, if you think about this kind of connection with Easter eggs, the Easter bunny actually comes from some Germanic the myth of, I'm going to butcher the Osterhaus, I think is how you say it. Somebody's going to blast me for how I pronunciated that or pronounced that. But basically, there is this tradition, there's this myth about this bunny, this hare, the Easter hare, who would be this judge over if children were good or bad. And he would give them eggs at the end of Easter based on that. And so it's almost a little bit of a Santa Claus thing too, related to that. And so when German Lutherans mainly, they had adopted this as part of their celebration of Easter. When they moved to America, they brought that tradition with them. And as you can probably guess, it has spread and changed and evolved over time. But it's actually that's where like the Easter bunny came from. And so it wasn't necessarily anything to do with this, although there's kind of some myths surrounding where the Easter bunny came from. There's some thoughts that the Easter bunny had this association with this goddess of fertility, but there's actually no real evidence that there was an association of the Easter of bunnies with the goddess Easter in Germanic tribes. And so the connection has kind of been assumed by people and guessed, but there's actually no evidence and depictions and connection between the two things other than a few documents that kind of make those guesses without any evidence. It's actually a similar thing even with the word Easter. The word Easter, a lot of people had based upon the thought that it was in connection with the German goddess, but that's actually just like one line in this 8th century monk's paper. It's the only evidence that connects even this the existence of this goddess named Easter and a connection with Easter. And so the word Easter, actually people, we really don't know where it actually comes from. It could potentially come from that. But it could be based upon just the German word for east, the ancient German word for east. And we don't really know exactly where that comes from. There's some theories that the word Easter could come from like a Latin phrase, but we don't know. And the other interesting thing is that people will often use that as an association with this concept of, well, asking the question, is Easter a pagan holiday? And a lot of that is based upon the origin of the word Easter and the stuff related to like the timeline and the Easter bunny. But the thing about the word Easter is that that is a very like German language centric word. Like I said earlier, Pascha is the Pascha is the word in Latin and Greek that means Easter, and it has to do with that's based on the Hebrew word meaning Passover, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But so it has nothing to do with this pagan holiday. It's a very kind of Western Germanic language centric thing. When Latin speaking countries, their word is clearly based on Passover, and that they celebrate Easter. So it's not a pagan holiday, as many have kind of described it to be that way, or maybe you've seen Facebook memes that have laid it out to be that way. But that's just not really an accurate representation of where it came from. Okay, we kind of dove into a couple different questions there, but this is a good one. Why does the date of Easter change? Okay, so basically, there's some church history that goes into this. So we know from the Bible that Jesus' resurrection happened right after the Passover celebration feast. And Passover is based, the date of Passover is based on the lunar calendar. And so basically there's the Jewish calendar, that's how they would determine like what month and what certain day is. And that doesn't like relate one-on-one on how we use what's called the Gregorian calendar. And it doesn't connect one-on-one with those things. And so it fluctuates based on the lunar calendar. And so maybe you're wondering, well, why isn't Easter connected with Passover then? So basically what happened is there was this big argument, early church history, we're talking first, second century, where different groups argued about the correct date to celebrate Easter. And there was a big thing about they would have to rely, they didn't know when the was, and so they'd have to rely upon kind of asking their Jewish neighbors what date there was the Passover, and they didn't want to rely on that, and then there was these arguments over what the date was. And so the First Nicene Council, actually in order to stop those arguments, established Easter as a set date based upon when the first Pasch, they call it the Paschal moon, the first full moon after essentially March 21st happens. And so if the first full moon is later in the year, then you'll get a later Easter. And then if it's earlier, you'll get it earlier. And so that's why Easter changes different dates. So one of the most frequently asked questions comes around Holy Week. So what is Holy Week? Well, Holy Week encompasses the 7 days leading up to Easter Sunday. So it's made up of Palm Sunday, Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, that's called Spy, or Holy Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. Now, I realize I just listed a lot of the same dates of the week. You guys can probably get the gist of those dates. But really, I would encourage you, as you're thinking through this time, each day actually holds some pretty cool significance just in terms of the biblical story. So we're talking like this, it's the last week of Jesus' ministry on earth. It's where he is jammed packed every day full of stuff and moments where he knows it's his last 7 days on earth, his last 7 days really chant to make some incredible stuff happen and teach the stuff he wants to teach. And so it's just really rich time period. And each day has some cool opportunities to celebrate specific things. So we're going to kind of just go really quickly day by day. And I would encourage you, do a reading plan. Like as you're thinking about doing something as going into the week, as we hit that, it's called Palm Sunday, the Sunday the week before Easter, start a reading plan and do a week-long reading plan that'll walk you through a lot of these things in a little bit more detail. And we'll link a reading plan. In fact, I would encourage, we do something at The Ridge where we have the YouVersion Bible app and we will recommend reading plans every week. I would highly encourage, follow us, become like, select The Ridge as your church. And I'll put a link in the show notes for you to be able to do that. But we'll post a reading plan for Easter, for Holy Week as it comes up. And that's going to be an opportunity to, I think, really dive into some cool stuff as you're going to be able to walk kind of day by day. What did Jesus' last week on earth look like? What were the things he prioritized? And when you do that, man, what a cool way to lead into Easter as you think about, okay, every day I'm spending a little bit of time learning something, I'm connecting with what Jesus was doing, and then when I actually am hearing and celebrating that Resurrection Sunday, I kind of walk through it that whole week rather than that just that one day. Okay, so what is Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday is really significant. It's when Jesus does something called, he does a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And basically, the city of Jerusalem greeted him like he was a king. So we see different examples in the Old Testament of how they treated kings arriving to Jerusalem, and that's how they treated Jesus. And what makes it even more significant is that this was actually him like living up to or fulfilling a prophecy that was written hundreds of years before in the book of Zechariah. And he arrives in the same way that he was prophesied to arrive. He's called the same things that he was prophesied to be called. And it's this really incredible picture of Jesus fulfilling kind of and showcasing that he is who he said he was. The other thing I really think is super valuable to note about Palm Sunday is how people treated him in comparison to how they're going to treat him a few days later. They're shouting at his king. They're acknowledging him as their savior. And a few days later, they're going to turn on him. And so if you want a big takeaway, just even from this podcast, or as we go into, if you think about those days, it's so easy to one day think about Jesus one way and then think about him differently the next. And if you can keep that consistent heartbeat on who Jesus is, there's a lot of power in that. So that'd be my little encouragement to you today. You know, there's Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, Spy Wednesday. Each of these days have significance just based on what Jesus did. And I'd recommend a reading plan, like I said, to kind of go through those things. Maundy Thursday is one that I actually think has a pretty cool chance to have some significance for yourself. And that's because just based on the timeline, there's a few things that I think happened that day that Jesus did that I think we can really utilize and reflect. One of them is this is when the famous Last Supper happens. And so this part of Holy Week is a chance to actually do some participation, maybe your own communion with your family, with some loved ones, and kind of have that private moment of communion and ask yourself, what would it have been like for Jesus to know that this was his last kind of free night on earth? And he spent it doing this. And that second part is super key, because the second thing is that he spent that time washing the disciples' feet. Kind of this example of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus was to serve others. And so this is cool juxtaposition of communion and knowing what Jesus did for us, following this idea of some traditions even will do foot washing ceremonies on Maundy Thursday, because it lets them do this example of how they can serve others. And so it's a great day to reflect on, how can I serve others in my life? Maybe it's a day where you go out of your way to serve others and really practice what Jesus was embodying there. Good Friday is the day that we acknowledge and honor, and it feels weird to say celebrate, but I think there is an element to that. I think more of just acknowledge what Jesus did and honor him. And I think worship is a really great word with this, where worship is sacrifice in terms of acknowledging how great of a gift he gave us, that he paid this terrible cost for us. And so Good Friday is typically a day where you reflect on what Jesus did. We're going to have a Good Friday service at the Ridge, and I'd encourage anybody to come and reflect and really think about, hey, what's going on in my life? What has Jesus freed me from? And just acknowledge that as part of a Good Friday service or on a Good Friday day, is knowing what Jesus did, reflecting on his sacrifice is really powerful. Week ends in Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is what some people call it. And that's just, that is the whole reason we celebrate. That's the reason why we follow Jesus, is because he is who he says he was, because of his resurrection. Well, those are some quick fire, rapid answers, as rapid as I can make them apparently, on Easter. And I hope that as you kind of hear those things, your curiosity will be sparked. Maybe there's different pieces that you're excited about and you want to dig and learn a little bit more about those elements of Easter. You're curious about different pieces. I would just encourage you, let that curiosity grow. I think God does some really cool things when we're curious about our faith, when we're curious about how people have celebrated throughout time. And then I would just, kind of throughout the week, weeks that are upcoming, be prayerful about what this Easter can look like. Now, this is something that church services typically put a lot of time and effort into. And so I'd encourage you, if you've been following Jesus for a while, this is a really cool opportunity to invite somebody to come join you. There's different cool elements throughout the week that you can do to prepare that. You know, you can get your heart ready in really cool ways. But I have experienced that one of the most powerful things that you can do for your own faith journey is to bring someone along with you in it and really invest in somebody. And my hope is that this Easter, you will have somebody in mind, this one person you just want to invest in, and you'll invite them to come join you on Easter Sunday and experience more than just the Easter bunny, the Easter eggs, those things, but a whole lot more. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Ridge Podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe so that you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.